This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. With the able assistance tonight of Corey Earlham. Now, the mainstream media loves to divide activists into what you might call good and bad.
Gay and lesbian doesn't do bad itself, Doug.
Well, true. This is also true. But let's stick with the mainstream media at the moment. Let me push my barrow. You get your own show if you want to push yours. They like to paint Shelley Argent as nice, safe, ordinary, mumsy, almost cosy. Not a word they or indeed I would ever apply to my next guest, who is tough, smart and combative. She was one of the first to call for Margaret Court's name to be taken off the arena at the tennis centre, and she wondered out loud on Twitter why bodies like the Australian Medical Association, which she used to lead, had nothing to say about the dangerous and damaging business of trying to change someone from gay to straight, a business that Margaret Court is in. Going the other way apparently is easy. You just have to say the magic word gay often enough, according to Margaret. My next guest is, of course, Professor Karen Phelps. Good evening, Karen. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Oh, you're very quiet there. Hello.
Hello.
I can barely hear you, Karen.
Shall we try for another line?
Call you back.
We'll call you back, okay? Yeah, we'll have to call Karen back.
Let me ask you a few questions while I try and get Karen back on the line. Mm. You've been at the public face of this Margaret Court Arena rainbow flag saga that some people would refer to it as. Mm-hmm. I think it's been bloody good. I think it's been very balanced, and I think it's been the old ACT-UP days of something passive but assertive in the way that we do it. What did you find at the front of that has been the outcomes?
Well, the outcome is that an awful lot of people who've never been activists before have got active. Most of the people who were members of the group were not activists. The two women who started it had never done anything of the kind before. Ivan Hinton, who helped me out on it, had never done anything activist before. They were basically tennis fans, but they were outraged by Margaret Court and they wanted to do something about it. So it's galvanised another generation, another group of people. And I think it's given Tennis Australia something to think about. They refused to talk to me during the tournament.
Fair enough.
Because they were too busy. But they have said, they did say during the tournament, they would talk to me afterwards. And I am waiting for that call. I think we now have Karen Phelps back on the line. Good evening, Karen.
Good evening.
Oh, that's much better. You sounded like you were sitting in the bottom of a bucket before.
I've not often been accused of being quiet.
Well, no. Now, you, in this whole business over the flags over the Margaret Court Arena, you actually called for her name to come off the arena at the tennis centre. That was a step too far for a lot of people. Why did you make that particular call?
Well, it really was a matter of thinking about what it means when we name an important iconic landmark after an individual and what that symbolises. And I think that if somebody is reaping the rewards of being a so-called sporting icon in Australia, that I think it brings with it a great deal of responsibility as well as all the accolades. And I believed that with the comments that Margaret Court had been making over the last 20 years, and particularly her claims to be able to engage in some kind of reparative therapy to cure a disease that doesn't exist, that it really was high time that we started thinking about whether it was appropriate that one of our internationally recognised iconic sporting landmarks at the Australian Open, the arena named after this person, was appropriate, even though, you know, nobody could argue that she hit a tennis ball rather well in the past.
But that was the other side of the argument, wasn't it? That was all about tennis, and she was particularly good at tennis in a particular era, although I have heard people say that the achievement isn't worth as much as people think it is because she had it a lot easier than modern tennis players do. But that's an argument I'm not going to get into except with a tennis tragic, and I'm not one of those. But isn't there an argument for kind of like leaving the tennis out of it?
Well, I'd leave the tennis out of it if Margaret Court would leave the gay out of it.
Right.
And the thing is that if she engages in these kinds of comments, it's not about freedom of expression, because one of the comments I made in my speech at the Marriage Equality Dinner the other night, and, you know, I'll apologise for the urban slang, is that there's a very great difference between freedom of expression and talking shit. And I think if somebody is going around saying things that are completely false, and which have the very real potential to harm people in a significant way, and possibly even in a life-threatening way, if you consider youth suicide rates related to sexuality issues, then I think that that it's time to speak up.
Well, Corey Olam's with us here in the studio. He wants to come in here. Corey?
Karen, thank you for all your work you're doing on a national level for GLBTI people. Good to speak to you again. Look, I personally don't support your position on pulling the name off, but I certainly support sparking a discussion about it, because I suppose I would be concerned about some of the achievements that gay and lesbian people like Michael Kirby had had if they said something later on in life when they seemed to be a little bit senile like Margaret Court. But what I found really interesting about this debate was the fact that there was no backlash of support for Margaret Court because she went so far as to say that homosexuality can be cured. There seemed to be middle Australia that said, you know what, we don't agree with you, we've moved on from this issue. So I think that's a thing we just need to acknowledge, that, you know, whilst this may have been an event that occurred and there doesn't seem to have been any step forward yet till Doug talks to Tennis Australia, there is actually a step forward in the fact there hasn't been a groundswell support for her.
Well, there hasn't been...
Corey, if I could just point out at this point that one of the other things that I called for at the time was for a statement from Tennis Australia, and that came very quickly.
And it was a good one.
Yeah, it was. They distanced themselves. They acknowledged her her tennis achievements and distanced themselves from the comments that she'd made, and in fact said that they disagreed with the comments that she had made. Look, I think that, you know, regardless of what anybody thinks about, you know, renaming a tennis arena, I mean, really, the whole idea here is that people are talking about whether those sorts of comments have a place in the discourse in modern Australian culture. And pretty much, as you rightly pointed out, the vast majority of people, except for the usual suspects, saying, no, it's just not on.
But wasn't there also what I would call rather a silence of the lambs on this issue as well? There were lots of organisations that I might have expected to come out, saying that Margaret Court was wrong and didn't. You made reference to them, to the Australian Medical Association and so forth. There were quite a few bodies, government bodies really, that are charged with sort of dealing with homophobia, didn't say anything. That kind of left me thinking, you know, why are these people being silent? You know, are they too afraid of being cut off from the government teat or something?
I think that's a good question to just hang out there. And for organisations like the AMA, which has an extremely good policy on sexuality and gender diversity.
Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome. The Australian Psychological Society, Beyond Blue. I mean, there really wasn't sufficient outcry about these comments that were being made. And I just have to wonder whether it was because they were made by an Australian sporting figure. And this is why I think that, you know, when I talk about sporting figures in Australia having a special responsibility, they have a special protection. It's almost like they're untouchable, and I don't think they're untouchable. I think that there is, in fact, a greater onus on people who reap the benefits of their sporting achievements and the accolades they get for that, and the reward, financial and in terms of every other kind of accolade in Australia, that are provided to sporting figures, that I think that they really need to think very carefully about their social responsibility.
Karen, just turning away from sports onto that lovely topic, marriage equality, that we all love talking about and we hope we don't have to talk about this time next year.
Except to
celebrate, that's right. Second-class citizens. Tony Abbott in the National Press Club today talking about second-class citizens, but still will not allow a conscience vote for his party on the issues of same-sex marriage. What's the way forward in 2011 in your view?
Well, I think the Liberal and National Party party rooms have yet to deliberate on this. I think it was quite difficult that Tony Abbott dropped his view about this after Parliament had risen and without the opportunity for the party room to actually discuss whether there was going to be a conscience vote or not. I don't think that this is the decision or directive in the Liberal Party of one individual. I think that the things have actually moved quite a distance from my understanding, from what I'm hearing, from when Tony Abbott made that comment. I think saying that, oh, we went to the election saying that marriage was between a man and a woman, I mean, big deal.
Not a big deal. They've got a very huge platform on the issue of the government is breaking trust with the public. How do you counter that with them in saying, well, just because you said marriage equality is between a man and a woman doesn't mean you can't allow a conscience vote like you have for everything since the Australian Parliament was founded?
Yeah, well, except that if you don't have a conscience vote, and one of their shadow ministers crosses the floor because they believe so strongly in equality, then they lose their shadow ministry and they lose any opportunity of being a minister in a future government. So the punishment is swift and real. And so I think that, there is a good history of enabling conscience votes on issues like this within the Liberal Party. Even Barnaby Joyce has said that he thinks a conscience vote is a good idea. Mm. And so I think it's something that, really should not be politically partisan. This is an issue that should be a no-brainer. And I mean, amongst Liberal voters, nearly 75%, three-quarters of Liberal Party voters believe there should be a conscience vote on this issue.
Yep, indeed they did. Well, thanks for that, Karen. You'd be pleased to know that my suggestion that you be nominated as a living national treasure has received quite a bit of support.
Only
from
she's with
the
Jackie.
Listeners.
I think it's a two-for-one deal there.
Yes, we come as a box set.
Yes, you do. You're the one who's always front and centre. You're the one who makes the noise, as it were, but I know you couldn't do it without Jackie by your side, and it would be appropriate to acknowledge her as well, and we do.
Thank you.
Karen, thanks very much for your time this evening.
And keep up the good work, you two.
We'll do what we can. Now, we've had lots, actually, of people nominating various different people. I've been asking, who would you have as a living national treasure? Well, the first suggestion I got in was Adam Lambert. I had to point out that he's not Australian, so we can leave that one out. Alex Greenwich's name has come up. So has Shelley's, so has Karen's. Tim Minchin is an interesting one, especially as it comes from Brian Gregg. Hugh Jackman and Geoffrey Rush are pretty much very conventional. Tim Winton is another one. From our own community, it's been suggested Nan McGregor and Daniel Whittouse would be appropriate recipients.
What about Doug Pollard?
That has been suggested too.
Oh, come on. Tell us how many you're voting for, Doug.
Two so far.
Okay. I want to see 20 by the end of the show, people.
That's one more than Molly Meldrum's got right now.
That's because you can still talk.
Christos Tsiolkas, for what he recently said during the Margaret Court stoush.
And for the slap.
Helen Zoki, for her work in human rights. Who else have we got here? Yes, and there's another one for Alex Greenwich. So, nice little spread of people there.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.